you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to the book of Jonah, chapter 3. Jonah, chapter 3. And we'll go ahead and turn and get that place, and also turn over to Matthew, chapter 11. I want to get a couple of verses from Matthew, chapter 11 first. We're going to primarily read from the book of Jonah. Jonah chapter 3 and also Matthew chapter 11. Does everybody have the same opportunity to be saved? Don't you think about that in just a minute. Does everybody have equal opportunity to be saved? I tell you, I'm thankful that I was born, or at least raised in Mississippi. Amen. Under the drippings of the gospel. Good preaching all around me, good churches all around me. And to be lost, I believe to be lost in Mississippi is a little bit different than being lost in Saudi Arabia. I look at them and they don't have the same opportunity that I would have, or that someone that would be lost here would have. And yet, just because maybe they don't have equal opportunity, or someone doesn't have equal, that don't mean they don't have adequate opportunity. And God knows what He's doing. You know, we're just a little speck in the grand scheme of things. God knows what He's doing. But I'm just in Matthew chapter 11. Listen, verse 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin! Woe unto thee, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you. So the Lord does things as it pleases Him. And He says here, you know, if the same works that you have seen, if it had been done for them, they would have repented. But you're not repenting, so it's going to be more tolerable for them in judgment than it will be for you. Now that tolerable part, I don't know that I fully understand that. I don't know that I fully could give you an explanation for that. But God is going to do some things in judgment, and the way He judges is going to be right, and it's going to be true, and it's going to be just. And God will always be just in how He does things. So I'm going to ask you this question as you go ahead and turn over to Jonah. When it comes to the gospel, who's really responsible? When it comes to the gospel, the lost sinner or the child of God, who is really responsible? And I want to deal with that tonight. Jonah chapter 3, verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah rose and went into Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh. And he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him, and covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published throughout Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth, and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way, and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from His fierce anger, that we perish not? And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that He had said that He would do unto them, and He did it not. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled from before unto Tarshish, for I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me, for it is better for me to die than to live. I tell you, that is absolutely amazing when I read that. Oh, I want to look at the responsibility of a child of God and also the responsibility of the lost sinner concerning the gospel. It's often said, you know, if our churches, if we were more spiritual, that more people would be getting saved. And so that puts a lot of responsibility on saved people, don't it? But does it totally eliminate responsibility of one that would be lost? I don't want anybody here, if you're here and you're unsaved, I don't want you to leave and think, well, you know, because of the way things are and the way times are and the way church people are, that, you know, I've got an excuse for being lost. You have a responsibility to trust Jesus. If you're lost, you have a responsibility to trust Jesus. As a child of God, I have a responsibility to proclaim God's Word, to represent my God, to represent Him well, to let my light so shine before others. So whenever someone is saved, we are to take the light that God gives us, and we are to bring it, we're to set it on the candlestick, which is to be part of the church. That's my responsibility. There's some people that they never meet that responsibility. They never join the church for whatever reason. They refuse to let their light shine. Others that maybe put their light on the candlestick, which means you join the church, and then you take and you cover your light under a bushel. Or we do. We've probably all been guilty at some point or the other. But the Lord said, you're responsible, Brother Jake, you're responsible, I'm responsible, and each one of us individually are responsible for letting our light so shine. What does that mean exactly? That means that I am to influence the world in a godly way, in a spiritual way. And any time that I hinder that, I am covering my light under a bushel. What's the Bible say about our gospel? Our gospel's hid, is hid to them that lost. Puts a lot of responsibility on us. I mentioned living in Mississippi, and I'm thankful that I live under the drippings of the gospel, to have the churches all around and preachers that preach to us, and you know the good truth that still flows, seems like everywhere you go in Mississippi. But you know, Bible says this, where much is given, much is required. So that takes and that puts more responsibility on us, don't it? If we have the truth, we know the truth, there's more responsibility for us to make sure that we go out and we deliver that to others. And how many times do we take that and really we take it for granted? We cover our lives so many times under a bushel. I say we. I'm at the top of the list. So many times I've covered my light under a bushel. And yet, I'm responsible. When I come into this church, I'm responsible for a spiritual service. You know, many times we say, come to church unless, you know, God's going to meet us here. Well, really, we ought to bring Him with us. Whenever we get here, we should walk into this place spiritual. We're responsible for that. We're responsible for offering up a service that's acceptable unto God. And the only thing He's going to accept is a spiritual service. But I'm responsible not just for a service, Brother Mike. We're responsible when we leave these doors. When we go out into the world, I'm not just responsible on Sunday. I'm responsible on Monday too. That others would see what I have and have a desire to have it. Now there's many people that will be lost, and yet they look around and they say, this hypocrite. Now get your eyes on a hypocrite. This hypocrite, the reason I'm not saved is because this person over here, I know they're not right. This person over here, they are a hypocrite. This person over here, I know they're not living the way that they ought to. If you're lost, does that excuse you any at all? You say, well, maybe they've been a hindrance to me. Maybe so. Does that keep you from having a responsibility to trust Christ? Absolutely not. When I look at Jonah, God told Jonah to go to Nineveh and preach, and Jonah said, I'm not going, and he ran from the presence of the Lord. Well, God knew how to get his attention. Woe is unto me if I don't preach the gospel. That's what the Bible says, but he also says you better do this thing willingly. But he didn't do it willingly, did he? He ran from the Lord, and the Lord got his attention and threw him into the ocean, and the whale swallowed him up. And all of chapter 2, we find Jonah rolling around in the belly of that whale, and he's going down into the depths. He says he went into the depths of hell. Must have been bad, being in the belly of that whale. He said he went down below the mountains, and he went down into the deep, and seaweed wrapped around his head. Lord knows how to get a person's attention. After 3 days, the old whale vomited him up, and God said, now go preach. And he went a 3 days journey in 1 day. But he goes and he says, repent. 40 days I'll be destroyed. He didn't really prepare much of a message, did he? I mean, that's not much. You say, well, that's what God wanted him to preach. God used what little bit Jonah did, didn't he? But then Jonah goes outside the city and he waits for God to destroy them. And when God forgives Nineveh, he gets so mad, he says, God, just take my life. I don't even want to live anymore. Now the question I want to ask us is this. Was there ever a time when Jonah was in the right spirit? If you read the book of Jonah, maybe you can help me and find, but I cannot find anywhere in the entire book where that man was in the right spirit. When I look at Jonah, I don't find anywhere where there's any spiritual fruit whatsoever. There's no love, there's no joy, there's no peace, there's no long-suffering, there's no goodness, gentleness, faith, meekness, that there's nothing that would say, hey, I'm doing this for the love of God. I'm doing this because I want to have compassion on you. The only reason he did it was because he feared what God would do to him if he didn't. But did that take away the responsibility of Nineveh to repent? Nineveh still was responsible for themselves, even though they had a man that really in no way was in any shape to go and preach. You see, God, well, he's a lot bigger than we give him credit for so many times. God used the message anyway. It's through the foolishness of preaching men are saved. God can take a man, a foolish old man, and he can use him to get the gospel delivered to a lost sinner. So, what if the preacher comes to Clear Branch and he ain't in the right spirit and he preaches the message? He's responsible for that, by the way. I say he. I know as I come, I am responsible and I feel full well the responsibility of standing in this place. But you know, God can take and he can be a blessing to you. Even though I may be held accountable for not being in right shape. Even though I might have to give an answer for not being in right shape. What I'm trying to say is this. God is God. And if you're lost, you are responsible for trusting Christ regardless of who brings the message. Regardless of who may have hindered you in some kind of way. You are still responsible. God uses the message anyway. God pricks consciences anyway. God moves hearts. God, he can take a donkey and get a message to somebody. Now I look at this and Jonah will answer for himself. Besides, if you ever go and read the book of Jonah, it kind of ends funny, don't it? I mean, it just ends just abruptly and there's really no conclusion to that book. It just ends. I've often wondered if Jonah's life didn't end at the same time. You don't find where he's ever blessing anybody else, do you? So Jonah, he'll answer for himself. But these people repented in spite of him. Now, God can speak again through a carnal man. He can speak through a donkey. He can and does speak through creation. And he said, because of that, you are without excuse. You're in your unsaved. You are without excuse. You cannot use an excuse and offer an excuse to God and say, well, this is why I'm not saved. Because God is not hearing it. He said, you are without an excuse. Look at Ezekiel chapter 3. Ezekiel chapter 3, verse 15. Then I came to them of the captivity of Tel Aviv and dwelt by the river of Chebar. And I sat where they sat and remained there astonished among them 7 days. Verse 16. And it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the words at my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul. Again, when a righteous man doth turn from his righteousness and commit iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, he shall die. Because thou hast not given him warning, he shall die in his sin, and his righteousness which he hath done shall not be remembered. But his blood will I require at thy hand. Nevertheless, if thou warn a righteous man that the righteous sin not, and he doth not sin, he shall surely live. Because he's warned, also thou hast delivered thy soul. I know you look at this and many times say, well, this is for the preacher, this is for the watchman. But I want us to understand as a church, every one of us are responsible in some kind of way for the gospel. God didn't just send preachers out, he sent the church out with the gospel. And we are responsible for it, whether it's to live before others in a manner that they see that fruit. Whether it's to speak to someone, we are to be ready always to give an answer for the hope that lies within us, meekness and fear. When someone receives a message to help someone is saved or someone is lost. In other words, if God pricks your heart to maybe try to encourage someone over here that's lost. Maybe invite them to church or something like that. Or maybe even to tell them about Christ. If you do not do that, God says you're going to have to answer for it. Blood is on our hands. Right? I said we're going to talk about responsibility tonight or study responsibility. Does that excuse the sinner? Absolutely not. Let's look at it one more time. It says, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. His iniquity. The lost sinner still dies in his iniquity. The child of God that is hindered. Somebody over here, they're saved, they're a member of the church, but they have went off in error. God pricks our heart to go be a blessing to them, go deal with them, go talk to them. Ye which are spiritual, restore such a one, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. If we fail to do that, there's some responsibility that falls upon us. But God said they're still responsible for their sin too, right? They're still responsible. So because God is God, and His grace is sufficient, we are without an excuse. We cannot escape our own responsibility. You go and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and you find where we're all laborers together. We're God's husbandry, we're God's building, but we are to take heed to our own individual work. Yes, Brother Jake, we work through the church. We store up treasure through the church. Everything we do is to edify the church. But when it comes down to responsibility, I am responsible for what I do and how I do it. And whether or not I'm listening to God, whenever He pricks my heart, whenever He moves me, I'm responsible for that. Numbers 32 verse 23 says, but ye But if ye will not do so, behold, ye have sinned against the Lord, and be sure your sins will find you out. Your sins will find you out. My sins will find me out. I want us to just stop and consider willful ignorance just a minute. You know there's people that are lost that stop their ears to the gospel because they feel like, well, if I don't know, it can't hurt me. Ain't that what they did with Stephen? Stephen preached the gospel to him, Brother Jack, and they stopped up their ears and they run upon him and they gnawed on him with their teeth. Or gnashed, not gnawed. They gnashed upon him with their teeth. I'm just not going to hear it. Did that excuse them? Willful ignorance is not an excuse for stepping over the blood of Christ. If we're lost, if a person is lost, today is the day of salvation. And you're responsible for that. You're responsible for trusting Christ. Jesus paid your sin debt. He was responsible for the sacrifice. He did exactly what He was supposed to do. You can choose to trust Him. You can choose to deny Him. But the choice is yours. No one else can save you. But I only want you to hear this. No one else can keep you from being saved either. That's up to you. You can trust Jesus. I think about Paul as he's preaching the gospel. There's a man that is following after him. And he gets saved, and the old deputy there, I believe it was, he's doing his best to try to hinder him. We live in a world full of hindrances. We live in a world, if you want an excuse, you can find one pretty easy. They're not hard to find. But I want you to hear this. God said, you're without excuse. God's not buying. He's not here. If you lost, trust Christ. If you saved, as God moves on your heart, you can't look around and say, well, so somebody else ought to be doing it. Peter tried that one, didn't he? Well, God, what do you want for this man over here? Well, if I will let him just abide till I come back, what is that to you? What is that to you? You follow me. We are responsible for the work that we do for the Lord. As a child of God, and if you're lost, you're responsible for trusting Jesus. Will you do that tonight while we have a verse of a song?